Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to part two of the French Connections Tuesday edition. It is the 21st day of February. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and as usual, we are talking about real issues, and we've got the honor and the pleasure to have two of my dear friends online with me today. I've got Morgan Reynolds from the mid part of the country and Eric Huffschmidt from the left coast, and me over here in France. So we're going to really have a global discussion today on issues pertaining to, well, I don't know, everything, in fact. And we're going to go right to my guest. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
And Morgan, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Darryl.
Well, that's wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, these two gentlemen have been working with me for several months now. You know Eric works with me almost every day. And one of the things that I want to talk about right now is, you know, trying to keep it simple. One of the things that I've talked to Morgan about is, you know, the smell test. When it makes no sense to you, you just say to yourself, this isn't right. I mean, and when you get armed with facts, you start understanding that this is, you know, things don't look good here. When a simple story becomes very clearly not true when you just give it this little common sense smell test. But one of the things that I want to talk about right now possibly is Stephen Jones, because Mr. Jones is a very important figure, I think, because he's putting his experience as a physicist and as an educator to the test here, and he's looking at the facts around the implosion of the World Trade Center in a scientific way, and of course, in so doing, he's opening himself up to all kinds of criticism. One of the things that's happened of late is an article by a gentleman named Greg Szymanski, who Eric and I have very large questions about, not for the least of which because of his writing about 7-foot aliens that run 40 miles an hour and live 800 years, but because of his association with known disinformation people that we've been able to identify over time. And now he's coming out against, Mr. Jones. And I got to tell you, Stephen Jones is a scientist and an educator working out of, I think it's Provo, Utah, Eric?
Yeah, the Brigham Young University.
Yeah, I think it's in Provo, isn't it?
Yes, I believe it is, yes.
Yeah, well, the facts are that Mr. Jones actually put his neck on the chopping block by coming out. But what was interesting, Morgan, and I want to ask you about it, he actually got quite a bit of support from his fellows at the university, didn't he?
Well, not from administrators.
No, but he did from other teachers, didn't he?
Yes, from other faculty. I believe it was a mixed response, but I admire Stephen Jones' courage as an active faculty member. Now we've got some more coming out, like Jim Fetzer at Minnesota, Duluth. I'm actually semi-retired. I'm emeritus, so I can appreciate how brave it is because you're going to catch an awful lot of flack from administrators. They're not going to stand with you.
Well, you know that Michelle Shostakovsky up at University of Ottawa was brought before a dean's board for his globalresearch.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually threatening to take his job from him, but he actually walked away with the support of his dean.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Well, you know, we're not all bought and paid for in this world, so this is a good sign. But Mr. Jones' work, now, Mr. Fetzer, Eric and I have discussed him. We don't know a lot about him. What about his work is going on here, and what's been your experience with him?
Well, my experience has been good, although he's being attacked by some people in the 9/11 research community. I know his work reasonably well on the JFK assassination. It's been voluminous and has included the work of many other experts. On my shelf, I've got a book, for example, of very excellent essays called The Zapruder Film Hoax. So I know him best from that. He has a website called assassinationscience.com. I think he's got a book out on Senator Paul Wellstone, mysterious plane crash that killed he and his wife and the two pilots and a couple of other passengers. That one has skullduggery fingerprints all over it.
Yeah,
I'm going to be patient. think we're all under a microscope here. So far so good with Fetzer. I'm actually going to be on the Coast to Coast radio program, you know, with George Norrie.
He's questioned. Well,
that's true, but it's still a big audience, and they're going to have on Fetzer, David Ray Griffin, and me in 1 hour segments. So it's still a big group to talk to.
Well, Eric, what's your take on Mr. Fetzer?
Well, I don't know too much about it. I just know, like most everybody who talks about Kennedy, nobody except, I guess, Michael Collins Piper ever seems to see any Israeli connection in it. And that's, I don't know if it's because everybody is just confused, because I didn't see any Israeli connection in it either until I saw Piper's material.
Yeah.
And so...
Anyway, I recommended that to Fetzer, and he said he will look at it.
Oh, he's got the...
You know, Fetzer's kind of... he has focused on the physical nature of the assassination itself. I haven't seen him put out anything tracing it to the ultimate evildoers.
Ah. So he's doing forensic kind of investigation.
Forensic work is the whole focus of his stuff.
Well, what I did understand from several sources that there was the attempt at starting an independence movement of the Fed that caused some problems with the I think it was called U.S. money. What is it? What did he have, Eric? He started issuing Treasury notes.
From the Treasury, because he... this is John Kennedy.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, they did issue some directly from the Treasury, which would certainly be closer to the spirit of the, and if not the letter of the Constitution of the United States, whereas to contract it out to the Fed, which is a private, privately owned bank chartered by Congress, it looks to be unconstitutional to the simple eye.
Well, the second thing that I found out about was that in 1960.
Hey, I've got to excuse myself. Be back in 1 minute.
Okay. Well, in 1960, Eric, what we found out from Michael Piper's book and from other people was that these folks, the Israelis, were trying to build the bomb, and that some people came into this knowledge, and one of the people who was fighting against them ever getting that technology was John Kennedy, and that was probably another impetus for them to... You're back. I was bringing up a point with Eric about John Kennedy also discovering that the Israelis back in 1960 were attempting to build a nuclear bomb and get the technology to have their own arsenal, and that was another impetus for him, because he was going to go to the United Nations and condemn Israel openly about building this device. So there are the two.
Yeah, that was the that's the big Piper discovered conflict between John Kennedy and therefore the United States government and David Ben-Gurion and the Israeli government.
Yeah, so that and the bankers, you see, that right there puts you into conflict with what looks like the same people giving us 9/11 and the world wars. I mean, those are the bankers, you know, that mysterious group that controls the Federal Reserve, the Rothschilds, and then you got the Israelis. I mean, so they're right there. You've got the biggest group, what looks like the biggest group of criminals in the world.
But see, you can't make it that simple either, because here's the interesting thing that I see as well. Back in 67, when the Liberty was attacked, of course, what we discovered from, not only did we find out that they'd be willing to murder Americans to get to get the American public into a conflict against, in that
Egypt.
Case it was Egypt, but you also found out that there were elements within our own government willing to suppress the fact that they had done this, which is... This is a frightening fact that the American government...
Well, LBJ supposedly stopped the F-4 fighters from arriving on scene.
Well, that's exactly right.
Liberty.
And you have to ask, why did he do that? Who is it? His decision, or is he working? Is he following orders from somebody? You see,
I don't know about that. But after JFK was assassinated, then LBJ just opened the checkbook to Israel. and had no problem with them becoming the only nuclear power in the Middle East.
Well, that's right. So now what we've got here is you can see the acquiescence of both the United States and the Israeli government working toward nuclear devices in that region. And Mike Piper's investigation in that regard has to be examined and given at least an honest look by everybody. I mean, you know,
well, look at the whole pretext here about Iran, and as I understand it, they'd be 10 years away from actually having a nuclear weapon, much less a delivery mechanism. And the United States government is making a huge we're on the brink of war, it would seem. And yet, hey, when India got the bomb, Red China got the bomb, Pakistan got the bomb, didn't seem to be a problem for anybody. Israel got the bomb, not a problem.
Well, and it doesn't seem like it looks like we're trying to set ourselves up for a third world war. I mean, we're talking about nuclear exchange here, Morgan. What do you think?
Well, some people fear that Iran is just an intermediate stepping point, that our neocon leaders are so mad that they are lust for war with Russia and China. And if you take their doctrine seriously, that they won't allow even a regional power to arise, which is absurd. You know, China's going to be a regional power. Russia's going to be a regional power. Then you got to really wonder if this isn't a serious risk.
You know who thinks that? And I'll bring him into the conversation here. I haven't been able to interview him in a long time, but Joel Skousen. And Joel's brother is a professor up at Princeton, I think. And Joel thinks from the very beginning, this has been a ferment to war against the Russians and the Chinese.
Yeah, I don't have any real expertise, but just about everything is worrisome, including that possibility.
Well, you know, Eric, what do you got any take on that, my friend?
Well, it is quite possible, because you got to remember, these people are not really Americans. I don't think they care what happens to this nation. They can move from one place to another. They've already got, a lot of these people already have mansions in different countries anyway.
Well, you know that George Bush and Bremer from the old beginning of the Iraqi mess live next door to each other in Lake Geneva, right outside of Geneva, Switzerland.
Yeah, so from their point of view, it doesn't really matter. You know, if they do have a nuclear war, they can still survive it, since they're in control of what's going on. You know, so America and Russia get slaughtered. You know, it's the same with the World War II. If you look at that war, I mean, the people controlling it were living right through it. It wasn't affecting
Eric,
them.
What is your take on the 9/11 loss of life, where initially on that day it was thought, well, there's going to be 25,000 plus dying. And then I was just reading, one of the fire commanders was surprised at how few people were in the lobby when they got on scene in the North Tower. What went on in terms of the population in the towers?
Well, apparently the people, even the night before, a lot of them knew this was coming, because there's a... What gives it away the night before is that there was one guy who lives down the street from there, and he got up in the middle of it was late at night. He was having trouble sleeping. He gets up and looks out his window, because he, you know, the apartments are little. He goes over to the window and looks out, and he was so surprised that the sky looked different to him and the streets were empty that he went and took some photos and posted them on his website and said, "Wow, look at this. The sky is kind of purplish. It's not the usual color, and the streets are empty." And he was surprised, because downtown Manhattan at night, it's not normally empty, and the sky is usually a different color. The reason the sky is a different color is because it's reflecting all of the office lights and street lights and headlights. And apparently what it was is, the reason it was empty is a lot of people knew this was coming. They closed their offices, took whatever they wanted, shut down, and left. Now, this is the night before, and then the next day a lot of people weren't there in the morning.
Yeah, they had an election that morning. I'm not sure what all reasons that there was such a light population.
I think a lot of people were told, don't come in. Some people were told, just take the day off. They didn't know why. See, not everybody knew why. They were just said, oh, take the day off.
Well, you know, do you remember the guy that ran Cantor Fitzgerald? He actually got interviewed afterwards, because a lot of the family members at Cantor who couldn't miss work because they were currency traders, had to go in that day, and this guy mysteriously comes up with an excuse to go to, I think it's to a dental appointment or something. But they found out later by a secretary that it was a last minute dental appointment. In other words, we're making the appointment. You've got an appointment now.
Right.
Don't show up. Well. And I mean, the Zim moving thing, Eric, that's a big red flag for me, because they also have some implications in other areas of this conspiracy.
Well, they abandoned ship, 2 months before?
That's right. And you know, in the bovine gas thing that we did, it was them that were feeding the Navy beans there, Eric.
Right. Well, and also, of course, the other reason there were so few deaths is they let everybody get out of the towers before they brought them down. Everybody except, of course, the firemen.
Right.
And so they deliberately let them all get out. They were watching.
Whatever hit the buildings were high up, what was it, 99% of those below the initial hits were lived.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was only those who were really trapped up high.
Right.
Well, and then the first time in my life that I could ever remember, the government offering $1 million to everybody who died. I mean, what is that about? They didn't do that for the world.
$1 million.
Huh?
Well, I was told today from a reliable source that anybody who took that money, which was virtually everybody, I guess except maybe Ellen Mariani, it requires that you be drugged and that you see a psychiatrist. Still, in other words, there are these mandates that basically sound like MK Ultra. So that's a way to keep people shut up, isn't it?
Well, Eric, have you heard about that?
Well, yeah, William Rodriguez was saying that not some of the people didn't take it. It's more than just Ellen, but that's one of the things William Rodriguez thought was strange. Some of the names, some of these people are not taking it, and here's what they're wondering: how many of these people are even real, if they even exist? See, some of the names on the flights may not even be real people; they may just be names. But you know, they're telling them that they got to go to a psychologist for their safety. That's a great way to give them drugs without them realizing what's going on here.
It's all mandatory grief counseling, which supposedly is repeated drugs you've got to take. So that's just, isn't it frightening?
It is frightening. And, you know, the people that mastermind this, how they compartmentalize the entire story so well and have people frightened off from ever coming forward. But that's not true. People have come forward. That's what you always hear, Morgan. People haven't come forward. If it was real, they would have. People have come forward. They have ratted this out. And we still don't seem to get the real traction because, of course, we get back to this media problem.
Well, we're getting...
Daryl, are you saying that somebody's ratted it out from the inside?
Yes, they've told, some of the parts of the story have been described in detail.
By a co-conspirator?
No. By people who, you know, the organizers of that military exercise that day.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
All the different elements and the compartmentalized elements have been exposed.
Right, but we haven't had, for example, the FAA open up. I mean, they're under a gag order, et cetera. We could have some terrific revelations if those restraints would be relaxed. Don't hold your breath.
Well, I'm wondering if they haven't already, taken off with the evidence to begin with, and it's just maybe people's word. They don't have the documents now, maybe.
Well, remember they shredded that one tape where six air traffic controllers at JFK or LaGuardia were reminiscing right after the event, and the guy just cut it into 1 million pieces?
No, I don't know that one.
He was an FAA supervisor. I think it was at a JFK. And that would have been... He wasn't disciplined or in any way.
Well, Eric, you know, we look at this mess. We look at the Building 7 coming down. I mean, that by itself is enough to for everybody in the country to just say this is a done deal, and we know it was inside job. What brought me to the Israeli angle here were the art students, and what we've been able to find, Morgan, is this is damning in the extreme. that this guy, Jack Abramoff, was actually offering Muhammad Atta down in Florida free trips on his gambling boats. And not only were they free trips, I mean, when he got to the gambling boats, he acted as though he was a special friend of the owner. And how? Why do they know that? Because workers came forward later and said, this guy was, you know, he was kind of strutting around like a cock on the walk here, saying that, you know, I have free food, free this, free that. And it was Abramoff that set this guy up with this free trip. And now we know, after the fact, that Abramoff and George Bush are not only, you know, not only know each other, they've met each other on dozens of occasions.
I know that the White House has been dragging its feet on releasing some photos. Isn't that it? That put Bush right alongside Abramoff.
Well, he's actually been in several events where Abramoff was there, and he actually has, you know, received money from Abramoff's you know, activities, his
the campaign,
campaign activities. Eric, do you have any more information on that one?
Well, no, I've seen the same things that you guys have. They're keeping that a big secret also. So it's see, this is one of the reasons why this information never gets out. The media and then these alternative medias on the Internet, they're burying all of us. You know, they're trying to get this out. That's the other reason we don't get it very far.
But if this connection holds up, it's a lot hotter than just the corruption of Indian casinos and the like.
Well, you're right, and here's the interesting thing. There were 120 Mossad agents posing as art students, and in fact, they were working throughout the country in advance of this action, but some of them were actually driving moving vehicles that turned up with bomb residue in their backs. In other words, when they were investigated, one of them in Pennsylvania was pulled over, and they ran a bomb test on the back of the truck, and it came back positive for bomb residue. Now, what is a moving vehicle doing with bomb residue in the back being driven?
Do you think that's tied in with the so-called Shanksville?
Well, it may not be Shanksville. It may be that this was one of the vans used to transport some of the C4 or whatever else the material they used to bring down the World Trade Center.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean, there were three moving companies, all owned by Israeli-run companies, basically, or owned by Jewish interests, that were being driven by Mossad agents. I mean, this is like beyond anything that anybody. How come we can't get traction for this?
Well, then when they got arrested, they were just sent back to Israel. They weren't even.
Yeah, they held them for a couple months, didn't they?
Well, they held some of them, yeah, for that long. But then nobody did anything. They just said, okay, quickly, get them out of here. See, somebody comes in. This is what's happening all the time. Our legal system is so corrupt that even if you arrest these people, somebody else will just come right in and say, okay, release them.
Yes, part of the problem is the way they've federalized local law enforcement and the FBI or DOJ or whoever comes in and everybody knuckles under.
Well, we had that experience already with Scott Ritter, didn't we, Eric?
Oh, yeah. He's another one that you wonder about. I don't know.
Well, no, they came up to New York on a state charge. He was on a state morals charge. Who arrived there? But the state's attorney for the United States Northern Region comes up and seals the record on this guy being a child molester pedophile just in advance of 9/11. But the guy that comes up to seal the records happens to be a man named Chertoff. Surprise! And then all of a sudden, this guy keeps saying that 19 hijackers did all the damage on 9/11, and he still sticks to this story to this day. So, I mean, you look at this stuff, and it goes, you know, Morgan.
The marker event it reminds me of was JFK, and there was almost an open fist fight between Dallas law enforcement and the feds. The feds, of course, wanted the body to doctor it up, and the locals, it was completely contrary to Texas law. The feds had no right to take the body. It was a Texas homicide. And,
that's right.
And, of course, the feds won that one.
Well, and they won it with Ritter, and they won it in other instances as well. And then all of a sudden what you've got here, it's – see – they do leave a trail, Morgan and Eric. They have made mistakes. And the fact is, we're right there to catch them on these errors. And it's not necessarily a single event that leads you to the idea that it's a full conspiracy. But on aggregate, when you take a look at it all, it's irrefutable.
Yeah, and what makes me wonder is how many Americans are willing to join this, and why are they joining this criminal network? I don't understand. They're turning against their own nation and themselves. They're hurting themselves. The numbers of Americans that are involved in this must be in the tens of thousands, possibly.
Well, you know, I'm starting to wonder. I mean, they do a pretty good job of intimidating, but at the same time, I mean, these people are going to live in the mess they're creating as well. I mean, this is the future for their families as well, Eric.
Well, that's what I don't understand. Why are they doing it? What are they gaining when they look around at their own lives, their cities, their future? I don't understand. What is it? Is it just the money? Is that the only reason they're doing this for?
Some people are attracted by being an insider, but once you take that step inside, there's no going back.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I'm proud to say that I'm not an insider. I love the idea that I'm not, and the facts are, our country was built on the premise that being an outsider was really being an insider. Standing as an individual and working with constitutional values. But here's the interesting thing I want to bring up with you, Morgan. We lost those values generations ago, and it started happening around Lincoln's time even. I mean, we started federalizing the qualities of being an American back then. The facts are we really haven't had an America that's constitutionally driven in 100 years or more. And so I'm wondering.
Now, I agree with you about the importance of Lincoln, which he converted us from a constitutional, decentralized republic with an awful lot of state sovereignty into a unitary state.
Well, they're still using the same War Powers Act that Lincoln instituted to control us today.
The other huge change was 1913.
Yeah.
And you got three signal events. One was the creation of the Federal Reserve, which, of course, gives them unlimited printing press powers. Second, the direct taxation of incomes, which it was unconstitutional prior to that, both business and personal incomes. And the third thing that I only became aware of recently was they provided for the direct election of U.S. senators who prior to that had been delegates from the state legislatures.
That's right.
So it had state powers that were eroded by the direct election. Now you can have money and people come in from outside the state and elect who they want.
That's right. That's right. And those three were real seminal because that gave them the ability to target three separate areas of control.
Right.
And of course, the media.
The Fed is most important. But as some writer pointed out, it's no surprise that the direct taxation came with the printing press, because once you've got a debt-driven system with debt-based money, the taxpayers have got the obligation to pay the interest, okay? So
yep.
You tax people. It has lots of other virtues to the insiders, but you give them the tax burden today. Just the interest on the $8 trillion plus formal debt is amounts to nearly $5,000 a year per family of four, just to service the debt in tax revenue.
Wow. Well, Eric, you know, here we are. We're sitting on the precipice. I think things are actually going to heat up, because what Morgan and I talked about privately earlier was that this, you know, these twin deficits and the fact that we have this year a current trade imbalance of $800 billion with the rest of the world. This is not supportable even in the short term. And of course, we're starting to see rumblings of the people buying these treasuries, and we're seeing an inversion of the
yield
long term
curve.
Yield curves inverting. Morgan and Eric, I don't think that we have much time before this thing starts really melting away here, because financially I don't think it can stay on its own feet much longer.
Well, I don't either. But, you know, when Morgan was talking about the Federal Reserve, you know, a lot of people have to realize, if you look at who's behind this, how many of these are even Americans? You know, a lot of people might dismiss this and saying, well, yeah, but it's our bank. It belongs to us. I think people need to look behind this and ask themselves, how many of them are Americans? How many of them even care about this nation? We've got, look at, if you listen to Benjamin Friedman's speech, for example, I mean, we're just being manipulated over and over.
That's right.
And the Federal Reserve, who runs it? Why is it a secret?
Here's a footnote. It's kind of a related thought triggered by Eric's comment, and that is, it used to be said that don't worry about the national debt because we owe it to ourselves.
Mm.
Now, so much of it is owed overseas. So how do the taxpayers feel when a lot of the interest payments they're making go to China, the Bank of China, central bank? You know, it's just laughable how these rationalizations morph one into the other.
Well, I got to tell you guys, I think that they themselves are trying to accelerate their time frame for this, because I think, you know, there are rumblings across the world that they don't want America's reserve currency status to continue. And I see a lot of movement into hard assets, especially oil right now, and even the base metals and even precious metals. It's happening across the world, and I'm wondering how much more time, Morgan, with your economic experience, do you think that now that this reserve currency status is going to remain in place?
Yeah, the thing that a lot of people focus on, and it can't last. It can't last.
No.
The rest of the world and traders know, have a much better grip on this than the average American, I think, who thinks that this ballooning debt and negatives all around can go on indefinitely. And the Iranian oil burst is at the prospect of that next month, where now you could buy and sell oil in euros instead of the U.S. dollar, I think is a very important leak in the dam that could quickly widen. And that is a commodity base. It's a very important reason to hold the dollar that enhances or in effect dictates the world reserve currency status.
Do they get a seniorage payment from that, Morgan? Is there a seniorage payment made on the fact that particular world commodity
is... in effect, because we're the only ones who can legitimately print them, right? The rest are counterfeiters, and we're going to sick the Secret Service. So we get to print them, and then, of course, we're paying for all these imports by these greenbacks that we can print freely, right, that the Fed does, in effect. So that, now, the fact is, of course, that there's a tax associated with that ordinary Americans have to pay in the form of price inflation. But, you know, even more, there's so many problems. Even more important is this housing bubble. And as it said, asset prices are temporary, debt is permanent. So once you get these housing prices leveling off and starting turning down, and they are, there's going to be some people who are upside down or underwater. And
yeah.
They're going to have to succumb. And now these interest rates, of course, are trending upward. And that's going to put more people upside down on their loans.
Well, and then you've got the inverted yield curve, which has always been,
yeah,
time immemorial, a harbinger of what we call a recession these days. But I'm thinking more like depression.
Well, if you did get a financial meltdown, of course, the casualties would be much deeper and wider than an ordinary recession.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, all of these facts taken in its collective sense here, things are definitely not solid right now anywhere I'm looking at. And, of course, they want me to stop telling the truth, and they want Eric to stop telling the truth. That's not going to happen because we are not those kind of people. However, Morgan, do you have any suggestions on how Eric and I can get this word further afield? Because we're certainly not heard by enough people. And, you know, having the 5,000 to 10,000 to 15,000 people that's a gratifying number, but it's certainly not big enough.
Yeah, I wish I had your a good answer for you. You know,
yeah.
We don't have money or media control or access. So that marginalizes us by definition.
Well, that's...
I don't know how do you break out of this corner.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, the media control is something we haven't talked about, but it is certainly in the same hands of the people that we've been discussing tonight. And, you know, it's bought and paid for, guys. And, you know, Eric, you got anything to add to today's conversation?
Well, just that we need to start picking these names out, telling people who is really our problem, and stop doing this vagueness like New World Order and Illuminati and Luciferian controllers, because I think this is one of the things that's confusing people when, you know, you tell them we've got problems and then you say it's because of the Luciferian controllers. You're not telling anybody anything. And we got to tell them, you know, look at it. It's like Alan Greenspan. It's like the Newhouses. It's the...
What about the Bilderbergers?
Well, yeah, look at some of the people that go to those things. You'll see some of the same people. Henry Kissinger and the media executives are on there. Because people have to realize it's actual people. These are people with addresses, and we can deal with them.
Yeah.
Now, the Council on Foreign Relations, I think they've got more than 3,000 members, but the Trilateral Commission is a smaller group, and the Bilderbergers are a smaller group, right?
Yeah.
But then if you look at some of the history of the Rothschilds, a lot of them seem to be funding these things. You know, they're not like the Council on Foreign Relations. These are not like all independent groups.
No, they aren't. No.
And so what you need to do is realize these are part of this group. It's like one big group. There may be fighting between them and, you know, rivalry, just like you'd expect, but we've got to start naming these people and stop assuming it's all George Bush or...
Well, it certainly isn't George Bush. He can't. He has trouble finding the exit in a round room, you know.
Yeah, and it looks also like now that you look at Szymanski and his attack on Jones. You have to look at everyone that Szymanski associates with now.
Hey, Eric, how about this theory of Webster G. Tarpley, where he claims that kind of George Bush found out on 9/11 and made a deal with the Inner Sanctum, who contacted them with the Angel Code to show that they have direct access to the bomb, et cetera, et cetera. That strikes me as extremely unlikely. And then Bush flies to Offutt in Nebraska, the SAC base, and asserts control, you know, because we were supposedly on the brink of a nuclear war.
Well, I think Webster Tarpley is also, he's minimizing, again, any influence that comes out of the Rothschilds or the media people or the Israelis. I think he's also just trying to push people away from that, you know, trying to direct them over to George Bush. I'm sure George Bush really didn't have any idea of what was going on. If you look at that facial expression of his as he sat in that classroom.
That vacant.
Yeah, I think what they did is they sent him there basically because he's got the mind of a child, and they said, here, put him down there with these kids while we do this. And no, I'm not kidding you. I think if you look at his expression, he's thinking, so this is what they were doing today.
Well, Ari Fleischer was there holding up a sign, don't say anything now.
Yeah, and see, I think that Fleischer guy, I think he's one of the ones involved in it. Look at this guy.
Guess who Fleischer is? He's a Lubavitch rabbi, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't know who the Lubavitch is, and you don't know what a Lubavitch rabbi means, you need to do some studying, guys.
Yeah, see, I think this is what people have to start realizing. George Bush is just their useful idiot. Fleischer, Wolfowitz, you got all these other people that are playing a much larger role in this.
Zolkheim, running off with $2.6 trillion,
That's
another one, Morgan. How in the heck could somebody steal $2.6 trillion and not be called to the carpet for it?
Well, he just took off for a minute. He'll be right back. But, that's one of the other things. See, but Tarpley and Mike Rupert are both, same with Wayne Madsen, they're all pushing you away from that and sending you over to George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Well, the facts are, you know, that it's pretty clear George doesn't have the brains he was born with. And I think they just keep him slapping, tickling with
going
people
on
like
cocaine and booze.
Yeah, and slap and tickle with Gannon, and you know, rubs his bald head and has a whoopee cushion stuff going on. And but the fact also remains that people like Dov Zolkin, being a rabbi and taking $2.6 trillion out of a budget and not being called on it, and having people such as Chertoff's father being a Lubavitch rabbi, and all of these people, we've got more rabbis in this administration than we have. Jesus, it's almost the majority of leadership here are people within the same community. And look, they're only 1% of our country. How do they end up at 60-70% of the leadership?
Well, they're taking over, and the people don't get it. See, this is the biggest problem. The American people just don't get it, and they don't see the deception. They don't see that, you know, people like Szymanski, they're not really telling people the truth. They're spewing nonsense in every one of their friends. You look at the Jeff Rentz site. I mean, all the nonsense on that about these aliens in crop circles. And then you got Alex Jones. All he talks about is the New World Order. When are these people going to start naming names? I mean, people like us who get into this much later end up learning more than they do.
Well,
which is a sign that they're lying.
Well, it is. And,
by the way, I don't look at Jeff Rentz's site, but does he put out this crop circle, extraterrestrials, et cetera?
Oh, it's half of his site.
Or is this considered humor?
You can't figure it out, but I mean, half of his site is his stuff, and apparently it's serious to him. Or at least they claim to be. But see, this is a way to discredit it, because think about this, what this does to the average person. When someone says something like, I think 9/11 was an inside job, they'll say, oh, you belong over there with Rentz, with all those crop circle and alien abduction people.
Yeah.
You see, and they'll send them over there and say, look, here's where you belong. It's creating a bad image, you see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then you also see that the only evidence they ever come out with in the Zionist area, and they do talk about it, is when we move the ball to the 10-yard line, they come behind us managing what we found.
Oh, this is another...
They push the ball forward. It's us pushing it forward, them coming behind to manage it.
Though this is another very important point people don't seem to get. Because when we expose something, they are immediately rushing forward, trying to push us aside and making it look like they exposed it, so that they always remain in control. You see, and this criminal network, they want to be the investigators. They want to be the police, they want to be the news reporters, they want to remain in control. So when they have to say something, when we say something, they'll have to respond, but they want to remain in control. But people are not getting that one either.
No.
They keep thinking, oh, well, they said this, so and it sounds truthful, so I guess they're truthful also. They don't realize they're simply trying to remain in control. And if they have to sacrifice...
The info is to have... a component of truth, at least 50%, and then the rest falsehood.
Right.
Well, and that's where the Tarpley thing comes in.
Pardon?
That's where Tarpley comes in. This is where a lot of them, Holmgren,
okay,
comes in.
Okay, well,
this
I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, no, it's true, because, I mean, most of these people will give you some truth. I mean, that's what hooks you.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're hooked, you go, oh, well, he was telling the truth here. Eric, you put it very interestingly with your analogy to a restaurant. You want to give Morgan that one?
Well, yeah, it's like the attitude people have with the Internet and this 9/11 and all the rest is really wrong, because they have this attitude like, well, some of what Webster Tarpley says is true, and some of what even Mike Rivero says is true, and some of what Mike Rupert says is true. Just ignore the stuff that's false. This is equivalent to somebody walking into a restaurant and sitting down for a bowl of soup, and he's thinking, oh, well, there's some maggots floating around in here. I'll just pick the maggots out, because some of the soup is good. I mean, imagine if people had that attitude, then you would have restaurants that didn't even care what the food was.
Only part of this is strychnine.
Yes.
That's right. And it's up to you to figure out which.
Yeah, people would never tolerate that with a restaurant. They'd drive them out of business. And that's what they should be doing with these so-called truth seekers. They should be saying to these people, get out of here. You're lying. We don't want to pick through your junk trying to find the truthful stuff. Just get out. And they should be. It should be beyond that. They should be put on the list of suspects.
On our guillotine list there, Eric.
Well, yeah, these people are not simply making mistakes. These are the part of the criminal network. This is what people have to realize. They are the criminals. They are the ones who helped kill all those people, and yet people are supporting them with their money, and they're passing their websites around. And here we are trying to get the truth out, and we have so much trouble.
Well, you know something, guys, I got to tell you something. This has become for me, win at all cost here, because what the option is that we're going to live in tyranny, and I can't have that option for me. I mean, that's not an option for my life or for the future of my kids or other people that I love. I can't live in tyranny. I mean, it's just not an option. I don't know. I'm sure you feel the same way, because you wouldn't be doing this if you didn't. But boy, is it's a tough call here when we're fighting and we get such little traction. It's sometimes I get frustrated and I get angry and I go, come on, guys, start recruiting some people into this story, or we're never going to get any traction. We're going to lose this thing hands down. And I want people to start turning to and bringing people to these messages.
Yeah, well, I think what helps is if you realize this is beyond tyranny. This is, if you listen to people like Benjamin Friedman, look at what the evidence shows you. What it shows you is they want to get control of the planet, and we are going to be, if they even keep those of us alive, we'll just be nothing more than their servants, slaves, and whatever else. I mean, it's like going back to the Middle Ages. We're not advancing.
Well, I think it's true. It's suicidal for everyone. There's no way that can work.
Right. It's an unstable situation. This is why they're trying to do something that will never work. The human race is beyond this business of the super rich and their slaves and servants. It's not going to work for them. And in the meantime, as they try to get there, we're all going to be suffering.
Well,
whatever happened to capitalism where it's trading value for value. The way to get rich is to have a rich world.
But that doesn't happen anymore. We got such selfishness.
It's not what economists call a zero-sum game, that I can only get rich at your expense.
Well, yeah. We've lost that. It's just money, 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 and the cheating is everywhere. A corruption is everywhere. We've lost so much. The attitudes are terrible. The morale is bad. We're all suffering. It's all over the world. If we don't stop this nonsense, if we don't.
Guys, you know something? I gotta tell you, we've done this now for about an hour. It's been a powerful hour, and of among people who are dedicated. Morgan, you are a friend and a compatriot on these issues. And I gotta tell you, I'm always available for your assistance whenever you need me. And I got to tell you, it's great having somebody like Eric to work with. You know, between the three of us, there's an awful lot of steam coming off of the top of our heads. And, well, there is, you know. The three of us, we're pretty sharp cookies over here. And, you know, it's great to have all these kind of resources. Morgan, you know, if you get any information that can be helpful to our side of the ledger, please throw it over my way, and I'll be in it instantly. And Erica, you have any parting words for our guest here, Morgan?
Well, no, but just watch out, Morgan, because you know, remember when they were Holmgren was trying to contact you constantly and tell you about these airplanes being holograms or edited. Mm-hmm. They're now working on Jimmy Walter. I don't know if they've given up on you yet, but now they're doing it to Jimmy Walter, trying to get him. People have to watch out for this. They are not going to sit by while we expose all this. What they're trying to do is get people to fall for something silly like hydrogen bombs blew up the towers, or the NBC News crew edited those airplanes into the video that hit the towers. You know, we've got proof already that the towers were demolished with explosives. We've got all this proof.
Yeah.
Try not to get caught up in. Everybody should try not to get caught up in these disinformation people and believing something nonsensical, because it's like what they're trying to get you to do is walk around with a sign on the back of you. I'm an idiot. Kick me.
Well, we've all got to rely on logic and evidence.
Right.
That's Smith test, right, Morgan?
Yeah, that's my version of a sniff test. That's the real reasoned sniff test.
Well, there you go. Gentlemen, you know, it's been a pleasure, and as usual, I wish both of you well in your research, and I hope that the things that we're doing are going to make a difference, and I'm proud to know both of you. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call this an addition here. on this Tuesday, 21st day of February. And I want to thank both of my guests for spending this hour with me on The French Connection. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Until tomorrow with Colonel Barry Turner from Great Britain, it's Daryl Bradford Smith saying good night and keep fighting.